It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostorfer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. It's still very safe for me to say that she's in Switzerland. This is the one, I will say that the only benefit thus far is that I know where you are. And the best thing I can say is, hi, Mirella, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well, Jill. Thank you. Yes, from Switzerland, and I believe for
some time.
For some time in the future from Switzerland. What I wanted to give you today, even though there is a lot in the papers, but I believe that sometimes it's a little bit different with someone living in Europe, and I wanted to give a little update of how we are perceiving the development of the COVID-19 crisis over here. So what one can say for sure is that certain countries are reaching a point where it's possible to think of not going back to normal, unfortunately, but of taking away a few of the restrictions so far in a very methodical way. It's not just taking everything away, but we can give now as a concrete example Austria, who has been able now to keep the new infections and the death rate more or less under control. It absolutely doesn't mean that there is no more infection or that people are not dying anymore, but it is the hospitals are having the situation under control. And one can say also that the numbers, if they are not going really down in a spectacular way, they are at least stabilized. So what does that mean? It means that after Easter, Austria is thinking of opening certain shops. It's going to be also with restrictions in the sense that everybody in Austria is required to wear a mask in public. And obviously, it's not going to be possible to go into shops freely. There will be still social distancing very, very much, as this seems to be actually the absolute only way to avoid new infections. After that, they are going to think also of opening certain schools. I believe they are going to begin with the schools that allow people to go back to work, and that means kindergarten and primary schools. I don't think that it's going to be extended to other schools yet. Norway and Finland also announced that while they still have cases, they have the feeling that they are somehow having all of it under control. So one can expect also in these Nordic countries some changes and some certain people going back to work, at least in the fields that are considered really very important for the well-functioning of the countries, so that there is no disruption in, for example, the food supply, which is always a very big worry, even though until now there was really, without any problem, enough supplies. Germany, even though Germany is the only country in Europe and I believe in the world that has been able to have such a big amount of infections, and an extremely low rate of death, which is terrible to say it this way, because it is still too much, obviously. But in spite of these good figures, they do consider that they do not have the situation under control, and taking away the restrictions or the lockdown would be dramatic in terms of numbers, by probably having a second wave of infections, which is the biggest worry of each country at this point. So they are going to wait longer. They are going to wait, actually, that their numbers are not going to increase in 2 weeks, because very often these days in the papers, in the news, we hear, oh, Italy didn't have as many deaths in 2 days. So all of us are cheered about, because we think, oh, this is great, this is going down. The biggest problem with that is that 2 days, 3 days, 4 days is by far not enough, because considering that the incubation can take up to 14 days and that people can be in intensive care up to 2 to 3 weeks, one cannot draw any conclusion before 2 weeks. It has to be 2 weeks where numbers really show an improvement, and where one can safely say that there is the possibility to make a few changes. In any case, those changes will, in no country, those changes will not be going back to normal, because as everybody knows already from the people listening to us, before there is a vaccine, which is going to be not before a year, or a treatment, which we are all hoping for, but it doesn't seem to be coming that fast either. But until we have neither, there will be no back to normal. It will be probably back to whatever it takes to keep a certain part of the economy going, so that countries don't just literally collapse. But back to normal is still a way ahead.
And well, there's never, it's an odd concept. Nor back to the way it was before. Whenever there is a, what is it, 182 countries? We haven't had something like this for, shall we say, a while. Whenever there is something like this, the notion of normal is, I suppose, comforting. But it's if the definition of normal is the way it was before, that's impractical, is all I'm saying. It's impractical. Given what created it and given the structures that existed, you're going to have to make new structures. What I'm curious about, if Austria's letting kids go back to kindergarten and so forth, potentially problematic.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a risk. I think it's a risk that they are ready to take, because the fact is that if there is no care for small children,
then you can't have workers.
Exactly. Okay. What is comforting in that sense is that there is a new report now, to take with caution, because we get, I don't know how many reports a day, and we don't know really which one is accurate and which one isn't. At least, from our point of view as readers, it seems that kindergarten or primary schools are not as dangerous as it was supposed to be at the very beginning of this epidemic or pandemic. And so if that is accurate, that would mean that it is still controllable. I mean, something we can take care, a risk we can take care of.
No, that makes because perfect
all of,
sense.
All of this goes also with a lot of testing and isolating, obviously. So it would not be, nobody would be completely free from it. But the more we are able to test and to see who has been in contact with the virus, so who is sick right now, and how can we trace the people that have been in contact with those people. Of course, that requests an incredible amount of resources, and it is really questionable to know if this is even feasible in many places where that are really very big. Let's not forget, Austria is an important country. I don't want to take anything away from it, but it is still a small country compared to others. And therefore, controlling and testing and isolating is definitely easier than in other places. On the other hand, you would tell me, yeah, but in China it's huge and they are able to do it. But you see, the problem is that our countries do not function the same way. Our democracies do not function the same way, and therefore, solutions that are feasible in certain places are definitely much more difficult to implement in other places. And this is also sometimes where the problem lies. Not everybody will be able to implement the same measures.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rostroffer. Over there.
My pleasure.